Well, good evening. Today is Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. In our last study, the focus was on our individualized gift of Holy Spirit, created and fashioned for optimal comfort to our souls, for leading us through unseen dangers, for supporting us in our troubles, and, as we're going to work on tonight, surfacing truths for our understanding. I continued to think about it really all last week and even into this one. It's an awesome reality that God's children are so outfitted, you know. We think of, what am I going to wear? What about my wardrobe? We are so outfitted with God. We have God's classic wardrobe. And as our understanding increases as to what we have in Christ, combined with the indwelling gift of God's grace working within us, verses in the Word of God will come to life. They will be alive in us. God's promised that. He has promised us understanding. And all throughout Proverbs, how many times do we read, with all thy getting, get understanding? Sure. So it is a partnership. It is a combination of what we do and what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit can't do what we have to do, and we cannot do what the Holy Spirit does within us. And the thing about it is, we won't be note-bound in order to remember. It will be really, as 2 Corinthians 3:3 talks about, it describes that the word, it's not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. You know, it's not written in tables of stone, but it's written in the fleshly tables of the heart. And as was continually in the Apostle Paul's prayerful heart concerning the beloved ones, Ephesians 1:17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And I want to stop here a moment, because enlightened means to give light or to enlighten. And hopefully our study today will increase our thinking parameters on the Holy Spirit's abilities to light up the eyes of our understanding. And like Paul, don't we want to know the hope of His calling? We want to experience the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. But as we reread verse 18, there is instruction there. We go back and read it, and we see that to know the hope, to know the riches of the glory, we first have to be enlightened in our understanding. And that we have a part, and the Holy Spirit has a part. And working together, we are able to gain that understanding. And we want to perceive with our understanding. We want to spiritually discern, as verse 19 continues, the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. The exceeding greatness of His power. Oh, you know, we know His power is great, but it exceeds greatness. You know, there's no great, greater, greatest with God. He super exceeds all of those ways of defining a certain attainment or a certain level. The exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Well, his mighty power works through the Holy Spirit, the gift that is within each one of us. So I say, Holy Spirit, light me up. Right? Okay. Well, desiring to have enlightenment in our understanding hearts, we begin filling our minds with thoughts. And those thoughts that we fill our minds with are from the light of the Word of God. You know, it's the Word of God that gives the gift of Holy Spirit within us something to work with. We put the Word in, the Holy Spirit works with it. Yep. The Holy Spirit then enlightens our understanding, but it requires food. The food is the Word of God that we put into our brain. God is light. His Word is light. And the power of His Word will go to work on the thoughts we entertain and the practices we engage in. Thinking about our completeness in the new birth, isn't our spiritual foundation as perfect as it could possibly be? Our foundation is solid, rock solid. And thinking about our completeness in the new birth, this is what we build upon. We have something perfect going on. And as Paul lovingly desired of the believers in 2 Corinthians 6:1, he says, having received the grace of God, don't let His grace be counted for nothing. Don't be a benefactor of all of God's grace that He's given and then just do nothing with it. Don't utilize it. So our foundation is perfect. The Word of God is perfect. And our hearts can be in the continuing state of perfecting our moral qualities, combined with the working of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, Paul said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear or awe of God. Cleanse means to purify or to purge. You know, clean it up, get rid of it, pitch it out. Spiritual cleansing and purging and purifying is released from the believer's heart to do its job. It takes the Word and it does its job. It will happen. You will end up, your desires will change. They will gravitate to holiness, to a way of life that is clean and pure, the thoughts that are clean and pure, the kindness, the love of God in our hearts. It will happen. Again, it's never our brain or our flesh, the disciplines of the flesh, challenging ungodliness. That's not the level. That effort does not render a stellar return. Rather, the quality of what is stored in our hearts, like Proverbs 4:23 talks about, that quality will overflow to the outside. So, whatever it is we desire, the first order of business is to get a good case of it into our hearts. Yep, we study the Word, not because somebody says you should study the Word every day. No, we study not to be biblically intellectual. That is not the reason either. But we study to fill the storehouse of our minds for the Holy Spirit to work its mysterious wonders in our souls, in our hearts, in our lives, so that we are indeed a new creature, a new creation in our lifestyle. Spiritually, we are a new creation. We want to get it from the inside, outside. It doesn't work backwards. It doesn't go from a carnal discipline standpoint, no matter how much you sugarcoat it with verses. It does not go from the inside, outside in. No. So instead of a brainy approach to the light of God, it's a godly common sense that emerges. And God calls it prudence in Ephesians 1:18. And synonyms for prudence include farsightedness, forethought, judiciousness, carefulness, caution, practicality, discretion, shrewdness, and wisdom, to name a few. And antonyms are equally interesting and accurate, like folly, recklessness, rashness, neglect, stupidity. You know, those words describe the lack of prudence. There's no prudence there. So they are foolhardy, unwise. The Word of God is the fuel for our thoughts, but the Holy Spirit sets it on fire. The Holy Spirit lights it up. It lights up the Word in our life. And it makes it burn. The fire burns. And that is how the Word of God lights up our lives. It lights, it purges, it purifies because there's a fire on the inside. It cleanses, and it is a continuing state of burning off impurities. They just drop away. And it's like you look over your shoulder and say, gee, what happened to that bad habit? It's gone. How come it's so easy for me to love people all of a sudden? Well, surprise, surprise, the Holy Spirit has been able to work within you and purge off the impurities that held back you living the love of God freely. It's amazing, and it is mysterious. It really is. So, light packs an intense heat. Ever touch a light bulb without letting it cool down? That is not fun. A few weeks ago, though, this is a little bigger concept than a hot light bulb, we had our first crackling thunderstorm of the spring season, and it was the lightning. Oh my gosh, for about 30 minutes, it was like the 4th of July outside. And I really kind of look forward to enjoying that first thunder lightning storm of the year because of how it benefits the earth. It's like the heavens are saying, wake up. Not many days, even hours after those lightning strikes, you can go out and you begin to see the buds break forth. It's just amazing. It seems that the whole earth awakens from its hibernation after hearing and having that lightning make contact with the earth, and the earth sending back the exchange to equalize. You know, that's thinking way beyond the heat of a light bulb. But thunder and lightning are a part of the earth's electrical circuitry. They are like batteries. Those lightning strikes, they're like, lightning is like batteries charging the earth to get moving. And there's two things about lightning. Scientists say a lightning bolt is 5 times hotter than the surface of the sun. Now, the surface of the sun is not the core of the sun. The core of the sun is off the charts, for sure. And its power, the power involved in a lightning strike is equal to 1 billion, yes, billion watts of lighting energy. Well, I want no part of a literal lightning bolt, but thinking of it metaphorically, it kind of expanded my mental thinking of the exceeding greatness of this power to us who believe. You know, God in the days of creation set the thunder and lightning to stabilize the Earth's global electric circuitry. You know, it's a complex and mysterious subject. It really is. But how much more his power in us? How intricate, how marvelous, how mysterious. It will take the gathering together for us to arrive at a place where we can really get the understanding of how God worked this and that and the other. To understand the secret workings of the power of the Holy Spirit gift in each one of us. You know, metaphorically, lightning is so bright that nothing is concealed. You know, our kitchen overhead light has several lights. It has a lot of lights. And it really is, when you turn it on, very startlingly bright. And I do usually cook with the under-counter lights and maybe my stove light to beam down on my pans. But when I clean, that overhead light goes on because it leaves nothing lurking in the shadow. Everything is made manifest for sure. Then the lightning being so hot, it makes me think of the purification of silver and gold. Psalm 12, verse 6, compares it to the Word of God. Verse 6 says in Psalm 12, "The words of the Lord are pure words." They're pure. You know, there's no impurities in them. And it says, "They are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times over and over." So when silver is placed inside a container that can stand at least 2,000 degrees of heat, because that's how many degrees, I think it's like, they say it's like 1950 for silver to become liquid, and they repeat that process 7 times, that silver is pure. The words of the Lord are likened to silver being purified 7 times. They are pure. And when they are in our minds, they will burn off whatever it is that impedes our trusting God and walking out in faith. If we feel we need more faith, if we feel we need more courage to walk out, the words of the Lord are pure. They are like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. You know, our Father is so good. All Christians agree to that, but in our thought life, is our thought life saturated with documentation that He is good? Our study and meditation surrounding His goodness, it will feed and energize His pure love, His truth that is within us. And maybe we've said, "I just don't have the time to spend in the Word the way I'd like to." I think that is relatable. Because we live in a day and a time when I'm sure many of us have felt that way or feel that way. What has happened to our time? Did we just lose track of it? Was it stolen from us? You know, either way, or both. The important question is, how can we reform or restructure our days, our 24-hour periods, so that the Word of God is present on our spiritual table? Because It is absolutely the necessary nourishment for our well-being in every category, every crevice, every nook and cranny of life. Matthew 4:4 authenticates this truth. Jesus said, he answered and said, "It is written." Where is it written? In those pure words of the Lord that have been tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. That's where it's written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, thinking of the brightness of light to see clearly and the purification of the heat of his word to burn up impurities, it could be likened somewhat to spring cleaning our homes. The same stream of logic, so to speak, where we can spring clean our minds, our thoughts, and we find ourselves stuck in a deep rut, the Word of God will tow us up and out of the mire. You know, spring cleaning is not when you lift up the edge of the carpet and sweep the dirt underneath, or you take all the unnecessary items out of one location only to store them somewhere in another corner of the house. That's not what it is. It's a time once or twice a year to purge. And of course, with the thoughts in our minds, we want to do that more often than not. Maybe more often than twice a year, once or twice a year. But it's a time to remove or rid ourselves of unwanted things, tangible and intangible. It could be an item. It could be a thought. It could be a whole train of thoughts. It could be things we relate to in our house that make us feel a certain way because there are emotions attached to them. Or maybe the subject of a piece of artwork takes us to a place that we like but we really don't need to go. Or perhaps it's our TV. Perhaps it's the music we listen to. But it's a time to remove or rid ourselves of unwanted things. And we may not realize that we don't want them. And that's why it takes some time. So it's anything of a poor quality or condition, especially in the category of thinking, of thoughts. So we take inventory of our daily activities. Where is this time going? You know, Satan has led the population to believe that binge watching is the escape for the rest that we so need. So, what do? We grab our favorite snacks, our favorite, our favorite season of shows. We get comfy on the sofa. And we overindulge all of our thought life in some fashion. And sure, we do escape reality for a majority of an evening or the majority of a weekend or whatever the time frame you have. But that's not at all what Jesus would have called free indeed. Let's think about John chapter 8, starting in verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So that's a light that will help us see. So verses 31 and 32, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth," that's this word of God, like the silver that's purified in a furnace of earth seven times, yep, "that truth shall make you free with the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's what gets tricky, because we don't see it coming with our minds, because it's not in our minds to gain the understanding. It's the Holy Spirit working with what we have fed our minds, working in concert with the time we spend in the Word, with a believing heart, with a desire to know God's Word, with a desire to be lit up to know these things that Paul prayed the believers would know. So, but it's so phenomenal to think about it. And there's partial song lyrics I want to read. It's to a song by Mercy Me. It says it so well, because at times we can know that God is good, like I mentioned earlier, but we just don't really think about it enough. What does that mean? We can space out on how vital the good thoughts of truth are to us. Oh, sure, I love the Word. Well, do we think about how vital it is to our being? And the first verse of the song and the chorus go, do we know exactly who we are? We hold the light, but we still listen to the dark. And it tells us that we don't measure up. And it tells us we'll never be enough. Tell me, do we know exactly who we are? We are the light, light of the world, light up the night. When will we learn? Now is our time. Now is our turn to burn, baby, burn. And I just think, I just love that phrase. We hold the light, and we do. We love the Word. We want to know it. We hold the light, but we still listen to the dark. There's times when we just feel like, you know, the devil comes with this rationale that we won't be successful at our jobs. We won't be successful against an attack by the enemy. Well, see, that's not the exceeding greatness of his power that works in us who believe. So, you know, we don't want to listen to the dark telling us lie after lie. And then we just take it? We need to spring clean our thoughts. That's right. Open the door and fling them out. Write on it, return to sender. I don't want it. We don't have to accept every thought that arrives on our doorstep. We can't control that part. But we can certainly control how long we entertain it. Spring cleaning, like I said, it doesn't involve sweeping dirt under the carpet. It doesn't involve putting it somewhere else in the house. But it's a time of deliberate culling and thinking through if we still need something or if it has run its course. I loved this. I was talking with one of my grandsons about the things that I keep to pass on and to, you know, today's generation, they don't really, it's a digital time, you know. But one of my grandsons had a great idea for me a few years back, and he suggested that I kind of stage the item that I held dear that I wanted the boys to see later down the road, maybe show their children. And he said, then photograph it. You'll always have it, and you'll be able to pass it on in a digital form. And, you know, that set really well with me, and I've been doing that now, and what a great blessing. And then I was able to rid myself of the burden, of the physical burden and mental, of taking care of this item and the stewardship of it and the room to store it and who's going to go through it after I'm gone. And, you know, it's just, it just solved a lot of issues. And there are so many ways we can relieve our minds of distraction and that unnecessary overload. Sometimes we have accumulated too many things that stewardship seems almost impossible. Because you know what? It takes time. And we're looking for time. We're looking for time to be in the Word and not feel pressured. We're looking for time that we don't have to listen to a teaching from our car as we're driving down the street. Oh, boy. You know, we might have to simply slow down and take stock of how we spend our time. Because you can't, time is something you can't spend if you don't have it. Perhaps people figure out ways to spend money that they don't have, but you know what? There's only 24 hours in a day, and there's no advances on tomorrow's 24. So we have to figure it out. And that's where Barnes & Noble, I'm always giving Barnes & Noble a bad rap. Well, now I'm going to give them a good rap because there are great books on purging the home. And there's great Christian books on purging the home. You know, little things that you can do. Everybody's different. What appeals to one person might not appeal to the next. But the point is, we're doing the Word. We're lightening the load. We're looking to redeem time. And there's many helpful tips and books and online as well. Pinterest is an interesting site because they have so many hacks and tips and things like that for this day and time, for cleaning, for storage, for purging, for cleaning out your house. And you can apply those same things to cleaning out your thoughts. But the key to cleaning out our thoughts is simple. You put the Word in, the Holy Spirit cleans house. You know, the Word of God is like the broom, the mop, the vacuum, the deep steam cleaner for the Holy Spirit to work. And I enjoy feeding on the Word, and I'm sure you do too. Even just reading a section, and then I go about my chores. Maybe I'm doing dishes, maybe I'm preparing emails for beloved ones. Maybe I'm returning phone calls, but maybe I'll even go outside and pull weeds. But it seems like a lightning bolt. A verse will arise in my thoughts, and it just kind of seems like it's out of nowhere. And the Holy Spirit used one of my recent meals to enlighten my mind on a truth. A lot of those enlightenments end up coming to you in the way of a study. Sure. Another favorite I love to do is to be able to find a time to get more Word in is when I exercise. I enjoy aerobic dancing. And for me, that's like dancing when nobody's watching. Yeah. But I love to dance to Word-filled music. Any way I can make an investment into thinking about godliness and be reminded of some aspect of His great love and goodness, I count that a blessing. It's such a blessing to have a lot of ways to keep the Word at the forefront of our minds. I remember Larry used to be famous in our home for going to the Word and then going out to mow or do some other chore around the yard. But sitting on that lawnmower, it just seemed to do the trick for him. Maybe he was in the swing of formulating a teaching or seeking a solution for a situation, or maybe just had something bugging him. He couldn't quite put his finger on it. But there were times when he would jump off that mower and come inside and tell me how the perfect verse or the perfect piece of an answer came to him while he was mowing. And it got to be so predictable that when he would have something come up that he needed to figure out that was troubling him, I would just look at him and say, "Larry, go mow." And he would go out and mow the yard. The point is, we want the Holy Spirit to light up the eyes of our spiritual understanding. Life should be good for us, and our days should be filled with joy and thankfulness as we do our chores, as we interact with other people, as we go out into the workplace and earn the money that God stretches for us to take care of all of our needs. The Holy Spirit works with the Word that we have in our thoughts, our minds, and our hearts. That's all it needs. That's all the Holy Spirit needs to have present, to be our very present help in a time of need. And certainly, having recently finished reading about how David brought everything to God in prayer, that's the best start. Talk it over with the Father, and let's increase the quality of how we assess God's goodness, His power, His love, and all the other attributes of His nature. And the Holy Spirit will light us up. God bless you.